advises that an audio recording of the proceedings of this meeting will be taken and made publicly available on the website, and those in attendance should refrain from making defamatory statements. Yes, you naughty boys. Let us acknowledge the Wiradjuri people, their elders past and present, traditional custodians of the land we now share. Let us be inspired by the resilience, innovation and perseverance of past generations. Let us honour those who protect this great land. May you draw strength from your God or faith so that we may here today on behalf of our community build a vibrant future together. This evening from Councillor Crowe and a request for a leave of absence.
For March and April meetings.
Can I have a mover for that, please? Councillor Minogue, a seconder. Councillor Henderson, all those in favour?
Aye.
I declare that carried. Okay, there's no other apologies this evening. No. Okay.
No,
are there any disclosures of interest from any councillors this evening? No, okay, there are none. Actually, confirmation of the minutes of the last meeting on the 18th of February. Can I have a mover, please? Councillor Brooks, I had to think there. Seconder? Councillor Pennell. Okay, are there any corrections or matters arising from the minutes, councillors?
No.
If there are none, I'll put the motion. All those in favour?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Carried. So move over to six reports from staff. Section 1, Executive Services, Monthly Status Report on page 6. Are there any questions, councillors, for the directors or the general manager? Councillor Minogue?
Thank you. With respect to the sealing Central Road and the design work to commence in 2025.
So what page are we on?
Page 7.
Okay.
August 2024.
Yeah.
What is the actual schedule for these works, please?
Mr. Director?
Would you like to take
that
question?
Okay, so that's part of an annual program of sealing work. Central Road is part of that broader program. We're currently engaging and with the preferred contractor for that. That went to tender. That was part of tender body of work. We're working with the contractor now. There's a few things that we wanted to tidy up before going back. A few elements that we needed to revisit. Nothing to do with Central Road. It's just that Central Road is part of it. So there is a delay on what was to be our nominated start time, and part of that will be a delay to be sealing works with cooler weather coming. But that program is also part of funding, and that funding runs into the next financial year. So the timing is late, but there's no other sort of detrimental aspect to that delay. Does that make sense?
Yes and no. I suppose the crux of my question is, it will be done before harvest.
Central Road, I would say, I could not tell you that. No, I couldn't say that Central Road will be resealed before this year's harvest. We saw in November. I mean, it's possible, but I wouldn't give you a false promise.
So,
because
the part that GrainCorp are making the contribution to?
I have to take that on notice and check whether GrainCorp is making a contribution to the program or that part of the program. This is on Central Road in West Wyong, so yeah, not sure about that. But like I said, it is form part of the broader scope of work, and it's a very large scope of work. And so, rather than proceed and not be in a good place. I think we've all experienced where things, we've gone off and not done things as well as we might. We're making sure that we've got this sorted out well and well with the contractor. And be, like I said, because of the seasonality, we don't want to be going doing ceiling work in cool weather, so it won't proceed until we get the warmer weather. So, I'm sorry, I can't. I'm not sure what else to say in regards to that.
Councillor Pennell.
There already is $100,000 expected there from Grain Corp. I've got 100,000 here in my papers, and that's 100,000 from them to what? What might we be prepared to pay for that road work done? Have we considered that? Have we thought of any part of that being included in any part of our budget? To get $100,000 from GrainCorp, but how much have we got to pay to do the road?
The roads are part of a larger grant funding.
Sorry?
The roads, those roads as resealing and heavy patch program are all part of that of a larger body, I think it's four different parts of grant program.
So that $100,000 will go into that.
If that's part of it, if it's recognised as part of it.
It's on page 9 in our business papers.
Councillor Henderson.
I think what we need here is we're all saying that this needs to be done before harvest. So the section that is the 100,000 is given by GrainCorp, which is Boundary Street from GrainCorp exit to Compton Road.
Mm-hmm.
I think we need to schedule in and ensure that that section of this larger scope of works is done prior to harvest.
Yeah, we can certainly look to do that, and it's just a matter of scheduling it. Yeah?
Councillor
Lord. Basically, my recollection may not be as good as all these other people, but when we decide to accept this donation, this contribution from GrainCorp, we're talking around about 100 to 200 metres of road that runs along the old section of Boundary Street, or the extension of Boundary Street, just to the GrainCorp depot entrance. I don't think it's to the storage facilities. It's effectively, if it runs from Grain, from Compton Road, which is effectively the bypass road, to effectively just 200 odd metres down into Boundary Street to their depot. And this is what it was all about.
It's trucks.
Yeah.
It is just the rotation, but it was not effectively the whole a large area. It was only a small area.
Yeah, but the to all the central roads part of the resort that as well. It's not just that small part.
Are there any further questions regarding the monthly status report?
Can I?
You may, Councillor Lord, yes.
With regard to the strengthened community policy, I think I emailed and I'm not sure whether it went through with regard to the dates of that particular meeting. I just think it's probably a little inappropriate to, in actual fact, have it in a short 3-day week, effectively the day after Easter Monday and 2 or 3 days before Anzac Day. Pardon? The 22nd.
Yeah, which is...
Next page.
Thank you.
And it's also in the middle of school holidays, or effectively in that 3 days. I just think there are 5 Tuesdays in April, and I think it wouldn't be problematical to put it back to the 5th Tuesday, which where we know.
Do you want to move in that direction?
Yeah. I'd like to move in that direction.
Councillor McGlynn, you'll second that.
Move it back to the next
one. Mr. General Manager, would you like to make a comment about that before we put the motion?
Through you, Mr. Mayor. Look, it's subject to all of our other meetings. It's just about trying to get things done in a timely manner, and we've obviously got a quite busy schedule of workshops and meetings. So if it can fit, great. But I'd also need to defer to the Director of the Corporate and Community to ensure that fits with her agenda and all the things going on as well.
Ms. Director?
Sorry, through you, Ms. Mayor. Happy to move it if that's what the council is would like, because I've just realised that I'm actually not going to be here. Though I would attend remotely if needs be.
Councillor Brooks, do you want to speak?
29th, the following Tuesday.
I've got on my calendar here, Tuesday the 29th, we've got our community reference panel.
Correct.
Yeah. I had a look at the calendar and I had noted that between now and the end of May, we've only actually got two Tuesdays where we're not here. I don't know where we're going to squeeze it in. As someone who's got school age kids, I've worked around it. So I've got it in my calendar. I'm quite happy to keep it where it is. It doesn't affect me. I'm easy though. If everyone wants to change it, that's okay.
Okay. Any further comments, councillors?
The community reference panel, I think, is a four to 5 o'clock meeting.
Okay. Okay. So what you're saying is we could tack it on the back of that.
Yep.
Yeah.
Okay. Very good. All right. If there's no further discussion, I'll put the motion. All those in favour?
Aye.
Hands, please. Okay. Well, I think we've agreed to defer it. Put it on the back of that meeting if possible. Okay.
Which meeting?
The community refer.
I've got down 6 o'clock, but
oh,
6 o'clock.
Have you?
Yep.
Mm. You go from 6 to 1.
Oh, no, I've got 4 o'clock.
I don't even have
community reference meeting.
I didn't even think we had a meeting.
It was in the information.
4 to 7.
So is it scheduled or it's not scheduled?
It is
scheduled.
Community consultation.
So between 4 and 6, is that
4 and 5.
4 and 5.
Yeah, with me, I have to check. Councillor Sessions that were issued. It's got the 29th of the 4th Community Reference Panel.
Yep.
Meet
the councillor
session. To be confirmed though.
Yes.
What time is it ever?
So is it confirmed?
It has not been confirmed. So we can set the time now and do the grant session
straight after
immediately
that.
Following.
Okay, excellent.
If I may.
Yes, Mr. General Manager. Yeah.
Just reminding the directors that we have a staff
yes.
leadership training session that day.
Oh,
the next day.
That.
Okay.
Very good. Right, if there's no further discussion on the monthly status report, can I have a mover for these reports, please?
Yeah.
And the move that be adopted,
yeah.
Councillor Minogue, and a seconder, please. Councillor Lord, all those in favour? Alright, good, we'll move on. So, disclosure of interest returns, 6.2, the recommendation that councillors note the disclosure of interest return requirements and accept the disclosure of interest as tabled. Have a mover, please. Councillor Henderson, Councillor Fennell. Councillor Henderson, any discussion? Nothing? No. Put the motion, all those in favour?
Aye.
Aye. Okay. So move over to 6.3. Employee Council Agreement 2024-2027. There's a recommendation there that Council endorse the revised Employees Council Agreement for the period from 1 December 2024 to the 30th November 2027, covering all Blanshire Council staff employed under the local government state award, and that the agreement be submitted to the relevant unions for execution. Can I have a mover, please? Councillor Lord, Councillor Carnegie. Councillor Lord, did you want to speak to this at all?
Oh, look, if consultation has taken appropriate place and the staff are happy, then I'm happy to basically
done.
Move that.
Councillor Carnegie, you agree with Councillor Lord. I'll put the motion. All those in favour?
Aye.
Right, carry. Carry. So to 6.4. 6.4 has been withdrawn. There's further clarification and discussion around that. Yes, Councillor McGlynn, you may.
Could we defer 6.4 to our next council workshop, please?
It's actually been withdrawn because there's further points in it that need clarification, and yes, we will try and schedule a discussion on it at the workshop.
Yes, thank you.
Okay, no problem. All right. So move on to section 2, Corporate Community Services, on page 52, 6.5. Okay.
I haven't done that yet.
So can I have a mover for 6.5 of the Finance and Investment Report for February 2025? Councillor Brooks, seconder. Councillor Carnegie. So there's a recommendation there that Council receive and have the information contained within the Finance and Investment Report for the month of February 2025. Until the Council confirms the payment of accounts for the period 1 February to 28 February 2025, totalling $8,353,957.70. I'll put the motion. All those in favour? Aye. Okay. Carried. Okay, move over to 6.6, the ARIC Independent Chair and Members Fee Reduction for Extraordinary Meetings. There's a recommendation there that the Council adopts a 50% reduction in the daily rate for the ARIC members attending extraordinary ARIC meetings, to only review financial statements where it is not possible to align meetings with other internal audit alliance councils. Can I have a mover, please? Councillor Minogue, seconder? Seconder? Councillor Brooks. Okay. Councillor Minogue, do you want to speak to this? I don't think it's necessary. Councillor Brooks, do you want to speak to it? No. I'll put the motion. All those in favour?
Aye.
Aye. Declare it carried. Okay, move on to 6.7. The Audit Risk and Improvement Committee Strategic Plan and Internal Audit Charter. There's a recommendation there, one, that Council adopts the amended Internal Audit Charter, and two, that Council adopts the ARIC Strategic Plan. Can I have a mover, please? Councillor Henderson, Councillor Fennell, was that your arm? Yes. Do we need any further discussion on this? I don't think we do. Put the motion. All those in favour?
Aye.
I declare it carried. Move over to 6.8. On page 95, the Seniors Festival 2025. There's a recommendation there that Council receive and note the report on the Time to Shine Seniors Festival 2025 for Blanchard's senior community members. Can I have a mover, please? Councillor Minogue, seconder. Councillor McGlynn. Councillor Minogue, do you want to speak to this?
Can I just add to the report about the Festival Recognition Awards to say that both recipients were widely acknowledged by all in attendance as being very appropriate and obviously well regarded by everybody in attendance.
That's great feedback.
And the luncheon itself is very well regarded because to have a waiting list.
That's great.
Yeah.
This year was the first time we went out to the bowling or to the golf club, and they had a waiting list of 200.
Wow.
Now, every other year it's been at the bowling club where they can have around about 250 people. This year we had 100. Maybe last year the food was pretty horrendous, was disgusting. But instead of having to move the venue, I think that we should look at going back and discussing with the people that manage the kitchen, get your act together, and letting more of the aged people come. If there was a waiting list of 200, I mean, that speaks for itself.
It does. That's good feedback.
Could we have a look at that?
Here we can. Mr. Strickland, want to look at that for us?
Yeah.
Okay, that'd be great.
Thank you.
Are there any further discussions from any other councillors? Very successful by the looks of things. I'll put the motion. All those in favour?
Aye.
Right, okay, carry. We're on to 6.9, the Garral Road upgrade. Wow, okay. There's a recommendation there that Council receive and note the progress report on the Garral Road upgrade project. Can I have a mover, please?
I'll move it.
Council again, a seconder. Councillor Minogue. Right, Councillor McGlynn, would you like to speak to
us? Yeah. I asked you about this to our engineer at the last council meeting, and you gave a description of how you were going to do it, and it was like Swahili to me.
Yeah.
My understanding of it. $5 million does 8 kilometres, and $3 million is going to do 14 kilometres. That's the part that worries me. And you said all the things you said, which way above.
Yeah.
Are you on track to still do it for?
Yeah. Well. Okay. Well, what I explained the last time, we basically adjusted the scope to bring it in at 8.5. We then did our trip, which I'm not sure if you were with us on that trip that comes from McLean. But essentially, the issue now will be about the landowners and the drainage and the various different movements of the water, right? So anyone that stopped, we stopped on 14 different spots. And it's going to cost a bit of money to fix the drainage. So I'm going to, essentially, the road itself, we could probably get close to 8.5 million. And I'll hand to Bill in a minute because he was out there again this morning. There are some issues that have to be solved quickly, but ultimately we're going to have to do a flood mitigation project out there to address a lot of the landowners' things. We're not going to get all that solved with the 8.5 million, right? So I think anyone that was on the trip, I said that each bus stop was $250,000 or $100,000 or whatever you like yourself. So, Bill, you were there. Do you want to tell them where we are, or the good news or the bad news?
Well, yeah, okay. So, not entirely good news, unfortunately. As we said, we've been on the tour and met the local residents, which is very good. It was very productive. We did go back understanding very well that we had a very tight budget, that we're seeking additional funds to try and finish the project. And that's why in the report it says that we were going to finish the road as it is and then investigate, monitor and entertain additional drainage issues at a later date. I also did put a caveat in there though to say that we would may have to look at exemptions for particularly bad issues. I was out again today with the contractors and Mr. Jeff Gould, who did raise issues, and also Mr. Ron Sharpless, adjoining landowner, with some of the drainage issues that are particular of concern to them. We could not ignore them. We couldn't in good faith walk away and say we will not do this and do it at a later date. For two reasons. First of all, I think the risk to the property owners themselves, the arguments they presented were that they could get flood damage to their fields and crop losses. And the other one was where water wasn't going to go across as well as they thought, and then they may not get water to fields and then have to water stock. And that's certainly not what, we're not about trying to disadvantage people. So looking at we think he's quite right. So we have now instructed the contractor to package up adjustments to that, but they are significant. And so once we get the prices in for that, we'll work on that. We'll work with the contractors, evaluate them, and I think it's only fair that we bring them back to you so that you understand what's happening. But it's quite serious. So.
Can I ask you a question? You talk serious. What does serious mean? 5 million? Two million?
No. We're talking. Raymond sort of said we're looking at possibly $250,000, $250,000 a stop, and I don't think he was probably far wrong with that. So that's what we might be looking at. Something I would say less than that. As I said to Councillor Monaco, I'm not going to just bandy out figures or tell you something that that might sound nice. We don't know yet, and we won't tell anyone until we finally get the contractors' figures in, until we've evaluated the volumes of material that we're looking at, the time it's going to take, the effects it will have on the actual road finishing, because we still want to finish in time. The other aspects we need to consider is that we need to move quickly, because we all need to make a decision on whether, yes, we do this and continue, because if we do not, we will then run the risk of delaying the project, which will only come at extra cost. The other aspect of this work, and why I think we should very much consider it, is that if we are not going to do it, the cost of actually making repairs later will far outstrip doing it now. It will be far more expensive. And that's really where we're at the moment. So we'll know more by the end of the week. I think we'll probably table that at the next briefing session.
Councillor Nag, do you want to speak to this? No. There's nothing to say about it. Yeah.
Well, the issue that Bill's addressing, to the Mayor, it cannot be ignored. I mean, there isn't a week that goes by that we haven't had two or three phone calls from Mr. Gould, right? So essentially, we can't ignore. I mean, we were hoping to build the road and then maybe come back and address the drainage. But essentially, Bill's gone out now, and we just cannot avoid this issue.
Councillor Coney.
So the information that Bill's just given us was my feeling all along about this. If we went ahead with the road as proposed without taking into account these hydrology issues, it puts the road at risk, and we would end up having to spend far more than what the potential extra spend is going to be now. And I think it's a risk to council from that point of view, so potential damage to the new road, but also, as indicated, you've got a potential litigation risk from third-party property damage resulting from the existing design of the road impacting those neighbours. So there's a couple of pretty major problems there. My gut feeling when we were out there doing that visit was that at the moment we're at 8.5 million. I think it's going to be more like 10.2, just based on my experience.
Mr. G, you want to comment on that?
I think it depends on how. Like, my hope was that we would have delivered the scope as it was designed for 8.5, and that we would address the drainage separately, right? Except there are some issues we cannot avoid. So therefore, I think in the short term, we're going to address the two or three areas that Mr. Gould and Sharpless have identified. And then we're going to have to come back and address the other issues later on, because they're not as critical. They need to be done. But again, it's up to the council. In the end, we can do two things. We can have the existing project keep growing, or we can take a deep breath and then come back and say, landowner, flood mitigation, do it in an organised fashion. So, I mean, but the money will have to be spent. Like, I'm not saying the money won't be spent. It's up to you to decide whether you want the existing project to grow, or we deliver the project and then we come back quietly and address it in an organised fashion. So it's
Councillor Fennell.
I do think we need to be rather cautious here, or careful here, because it's a road. It's 14 kilometres of road. We have a very, very large network. We have a lot of people who have grave concerns about the safety of their road, which is not this road. We should be listening to all of our ratepayers and landholders about what is a concern on their road. As I see it, and it's a very candid remark, are we building the highway to heaven? Because it is this coming in and this is coming in and this is being considered. I think we need to be very cautious that we are going to get comment from our landowners, what about my road? Thank you.
So you're proposing that we do a, because there wasn't a hydrological study done previous, or an adequate one anyway, so fix the main issues that you can see, but then do the study at a later point in time.
So Councillor, through you, Mr. Mayor, that's true. However, when we say a hydrological study, they can range in scope. And I suppose, if I go back to Councillor Fennell, we're very mindful about scope creep, and that's why the thing was to say we won't do anything, we won't entertain further works until such time as we get the road built. Then it's monitor and see what really needs to be done, and actually monitor, see what we've done, because some of the work we are doing here does address drainage. And so the idea would then be to monitor that moving forward. But like I said, there's two issues, there's two points there that have been raised. And like I said, with major projects, we really should be engaging and with stakeholders, and there's been the residents, farmers, whoever that happens to be. I suppose also, Councillor Fennell, when you say we should be talking to all stakeholders on all of our roads, that would be the case were they major upgrade projects like this. A lot of what we're doing as far as the program is concerned is things like heavy patches and reseals, which are fairly straightforward. And they don't carry the same sort of risks that this particular project is carrying. And I suppose it can seem like we've opened a Pandora's box with this particular road, where we've gone to do work and it's just now everything is becoming an issue. And there's certainly some truth in that. It is becoming an issue. But once we've started, I think we can't leave it or half done or with such grave risk, because, as Councillor Carnegie pointed out, it's likely to come back and cost us far more to remedy later if we don't do it now. So I think there's a timeliness that we have to reconsider.
Councillor McGregor.
Everything you said, I've heard 1,000 times before in the last 20 years. And I understand it, you are totally correct. We don't want to have to come back. But this is one road going to the mine, one road. Now, landholders have lived in this area, for some of them for close to 100 years. Because we've spent this extra money that's coming out of roads to recovery, what roads are not going to be done up? So people have been waiting for years and years and years to have their roads done up, and they're not going to be done in this financial year. And this is why I agree with Councillor Pennell's sentiments 100%, because every time I go out, there was a big Lions function on Saturday. People were there from Maroul and Noradin. So what are you doing about us? You're spending all this money on one road. What about our roads? Every time you go to Mass, you go anywhere, you're hearing this stuff.
Yeah.
And it just, I agree that you have to do it properly, but you're listening to a couple of, you're doing this highway to heaven. There's a lot of other roads out there.
Yeah, I'm sure it's not... it's not the highway to heaven or the autobahn or the M7. It's far from that. It's really, these are just trying to fix real issues. As far as you are right, of course, we take money from somewhere to put it somewhere else. There was a degree of money that was taken out of council's reserves for this, and part of that is other grant funding. It hasn't affected the current program that we're working on now. Look, I think it's like academic somewhat to say it will affect some others.
To the mayor, we're probably revisiting. We had the extraordinary meeting, right? We shouldn't have been starting where we were starting, but we made the decision to proceed, right? And to a certain extent, we've got to keep going. So the hard decision was made, right? Now, the only thing that's changed is there's two particular issues which we don't want to start designing on here at the meeting, but have to be addressed. They're of a level that they're beyond. They need to be fixed, right? And the rest are, I'll call them ordinary, but still need to be fixed later on, but they're not urgent. So I think we are getting this under control, and we are talking to all the people. I mean, I get more phone calls about roads. Everybody wants their road fixed, right? So... I think we need to get ourselves out of Guerrill Road as quickly and as cleanly as possible, and then we need to take a breather, right? Right. That's really what we need to do, because there are issues, like, and I think, but I just don't want to, like, this is March, right? This has a kind of a deja vu feeling to me, right? Right. We dropped the ball on Guerrill Road. I'll repeat, like, it's on the tape. We dropped the ball on Guerrill Road. We're trying to get out with our, you know, with the skin of our teeth. That's roughly where we are, right? Either that, as we said, we could have pulled the pin, paid the penalties, and then there wouldn't be any road. So, like, it is the worst of, or the best of two worst outcomes, basically.
Okay, no further discussion. I'll put the motion. All those in favour?
Aye.
Aye. Clear, carried. Move over to 6.1, the Animal Shelter Construction Report.
Okay.
The recommendation there, Council receives this report and note the report on the tender evaluation process for the Animal Shelter and the contract award to Mixon Construction Proprietary Limited to the value of $544,477.70, excluding GST. Can I move it, please? Councillor Fennell, Councillor McGlynn. Councillor Fennell, do you just like to speak to this? Or
be really good to see this happen. The conditions up there at this point in time for both the animals and the people that are looking after the animals is rather atrocious. Having spent a bit of time there myself selecting rescued animals, seen a fair bit there, and I think everyone's going to benefit from what it is, and we do have a responsibility. We've taken on a responsibility to look after animals.
Good. Councillor
McGlynn. I just want to ask a question. When we first got this funding from the state government, wasn't something like $350,000? So we're going to have to pull in... out of our funds to finish this, or... I'm 100% for it, but
the budget from... I mix up the funds. I think it's LRCI, one of them,
yeah,
is $630,000.
Oh, so we're coming out of
budget. Yeah. So it's been reallocated. The thing that Karen, who's our ranger, obviously is already getting excited. So I think she will need money, not for the actual facility, but for the bells and whistles, like, you know, whether it's toys or... She's getting excited. But look, the core thing was very competitive, tendered, right? We got 10 submissions, you can see it there. We went back to 4 and we got them to come with their best and final offer. We got it down. We still have to connect the power, the sewer and the water to it. So when you add that contract plus the others, we should be there. Like, it could be a win. I'm afraid to get excited. It actually might be
getting something right.
Well, I must say it is, Mr. Director, it's your first project that you've had to tender and get organised. So if it comes in under budget, we're still yet to see whether it comes in under budget. But if it does, all kudos to you.
You can put me one in the pens.
I was going to say, to have a toilet for staff to use and also hot water. They're working with cold water at the moment. That's when you're dealing with parvoviruses and all that sort of stuff, well, you know, cold water is not going to cut it. So, but the bit that you've saved there, maybe Karen might get a little bit of hot water.
Great comment. Okay, there's no further discussion. I'll put the motion. All those in favour?
Sorry.
Oh, Councillor Lord.
the question I ask is that, you know, I understand we're around, you know, got $80,000 or $90,000 left in the budget to effectively put the power on. How far does the power have to go to get it? Because I've seen Essential Energy before when it comes to connecting power being over what we
Mr.
think.
Director.
No, well, I've seen the quotations for the power. I mean, so it's there's two of the exact locations. One would have been from the existing wastewater, but we are not getting the power from there. We're bringing it from a different pole, and we're actually getting a little power upgrade to ensure that we have additional power for later on. So I don't want to give on the tape to give the exact figure, but basically it's reasonable for the distance, so it's within the budget. The thing I'm lobbying for is Karen for the bells and whistles, so I think the core project will come in within budget. It's just, as I say, the carpets and the tea bags, etc.
Electricity people concerned.
So
very good.
Councillor
McGlynn, up you come.
Is hot water bells and whistles?
No.
God, I hope not.
No. Don't you mean?
We're thrifty, Councillor
McGlynn. It's not, is it?
We're thrifty. Councillor McGlynn. Okay, there's no further... Councillor Fidel, you up again.
I am. Me a cat tonight. Solar panels or generators?
Not at the moment,
no.
Very good. Nothing further?
No.
Put the motion. All those in favour? Nice loud
aye.
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 Aye. Aye. Thank you. Over to page 103. Okay. 6.11, parking and enforcement. There's a recommendation there that Council re-endorse the enforcement of existing parking signage in West Wylam. Can I have a mover, please? Councillor Fennell, a second, and Councillor McGlynn. Councillor Fennell, you can start off. I think this is going to be interesting.
I think it's interesting here, the word enforcement. I was wondering how that may happen. But we do have two-hour parking signs. We do have loading zones that are very obscure because the trees have grown over the top of them now. This is in the back park there of White Tank Lane. There's a constant flow of traffic parked there because there's other services there that people are accessing. It's a danger point up there at White Tank. White Tank and coming off Church Street, people collecting coffee there. That's a huge big issue there. You can't see signage. In the streets, you've got accommodation that attracts people to park out front of your business for a number of hours whilst they're staying in these places.
Yep.
You've got people having teas and coffees and things, and it does go way past 2 hours. But my big concern there is enforcement. How do you propose that this is going to be enforced?
Mr. Director?
Look, essentially, I've asked the people about integrity, so we say what we do and do what we say. So at the moment, we have these signs up. We have a ranger who spends most of her time looking after dogs and cats and out at the dog pound. Mm. I just think it's a matter of counsel to decide how... Like, I feel like I'm sort of... You're coming into West Wylam and you're thinking, how strict do we want to be? Mm. Now, if we want people to be strict, we probably do need a parking enforcement officer, someone going around marking tyres and handing out tickets. And that's a matter of, like... It's a matter of culture. Like, if we, like in Stonington in Melbourne, like you get it at 2 hours and 1 minute, and you're getting your checkbook out straight away. So I think you just need to decide how strict. That's why we brought this up, because a number of councillors got people complaining for all the same reasons. Some people can't get parking spots. Other people are working and parking out the front, and then you got people. In the end, we do need enforcement, but. A dog ranger or a ranger who's doing it sort of here and there, that's not enforcement at this level. So I suggest if you want a tougher regime, we've got to allocate a resource and someone really...
We'd never recoup the money. Councillor McGlynn.
No, you can't have the ranger copping abuse because she's telling someone to move on. That's what will happen. I don't think that she didn't sign up to be a dog catcher for that. I think that's far too hard. When I was in Cooma, they had through four communities, they had one parking inspector, and you didn't know what day Bondala and Cooma and whatever. I think it's an education thing that we go around to the businesses and say, could you really park behind? So I think it's a lot of it's education, except when you're in the 15-minute parking near the... near the medical centre and at the post office. I think that maybe that could be something somehow a bit more strictly enforced, but I think the other is mainly is mainly an education thing. I don't think we need, it's not fair to the ranger to do that to us.
Councillor Carney. Councillor Lloyd, you were next, I think.
Councillor
Lloyd.
Yeah, I was going to say, I would support Councillor McGlynn on this because the two-hour limits hour in the main street, I agree they're signed, but over the last 6 to 12 months, there's never been a massive shortage within that two-hour zone, you know? I totally agree the abuses of the 15-minute ones and the disabled ones are the real concern that we have, and I think we I don't know how we're going to look at it, but we need to educate, but they're the ones I think we should be concerned about. And the other comments that I've had, the number of long-term parkers in the car park at the back in the front of Bernardi's that actually in the summer park under the shade and stay there for a longer period of than the 2 hours. They're, to me, are about the only concerns when it comes to that limit, but I'm not sure how to solve the problem, but I think we should highlight and do something.
Councillor Carnegie.
If I'm not mistaken, many, many, many years ago, Landshire Council had one of its rangers doing parking enforcement for about 2 weeks before the backlash.
Yeah, I can't do that.
Ended all of that. And so it's probably a bit a bit of a swift action to put this through without having a solid plan of how this is actually going to work. You need to have a very good implementation plan, and as Council Lords outlined, the 15-minute parking and the disabled parking, they're obviously an issue, and there's some other areas, concentrated areas within the Main Street precinct that are problem areas that everyone would know about. So it's probably the case that we need to see an implementation plan before we make a vote on something like this.
Mm-hmm. Would you entertain, you know, let's be speeding cameras, obviously can take, there would be technology we could put, but it would cost, but it would be cheaper probably than having someone walking around, have cameras at the 15 and the disabled, so people would know that we could put in a little bit of slack in there, you know, so it wasn't 15 minutes and two seconds, but I don't know the exact technology, but if you can get us for speeding, there must be some system, right?
So what would you do with that? Would you fine them, or would you send them a letter with a photo enclosed or something?
Yeah. Well, look, personally, I mean, generally what's happened to me in Australia is that, you know, you get pulled over and the ticket's in the mail, right? Or the bill's in the mail. In other jurisdictions, people say you get pulled over, they chat to you, and then if they see you doing it again, they have another chat with you and put it in the notebook. And if they see you a third time, you're on the system and you're getting the fine. Now, that's very soft-touch policing, but that's really what I'd be saying to people here. We need an escalation approach. Mm. Like, if we start going clamping,
no.
I mean, you're going to get in the neck.
Yeah.
Like, it's easy for me to say, send out the tickets, and then I won't get it at all. So I just think, or else there's repeat offenders. Unless we did a media campaign where we start targeting people that are overdoing it in 15, you know what I mean? Just shaming people, saying, look, please leave the 15 minutes when your 15 minutes is up, or don't be caught in the disabled. I mean, your media idea, Councillor McLean, has a lot of merit in a town like this. I'm not sure if the clamping idea is...
don't bother with that, thank you.
They've got guns around here, though.
If you would just think that maybe a little bit of like that, some sort of action there, where, okay, this one talks to that one talks to that one, and maybe it's just that sense of awareness, you know, raising that awareness, and maybe if somebody could be left a note to say, move on their windscreen, you know, you might have something up in that 50, and then they'll say, oh, well, I've sort of nearly received an infringement notice. Hope that there might be a bit of talk. It might be just...
So she's suggesting a softly approach.
So basically, is there a warning ticket? Would we do three strikes and you're out, or two strikes and you're out?
Right. Just somehow, however you want to word it, you know, like to say, you know, do you realise this is a zone here? There's no parking. You've got no disability parking in your window, so that's the person you target. This is an area reserved for people that require this facility. Also, too, you are parked in a 15-minute. Please reconsider. You know, where you're parked.
That makes a lot of sense. And then, then it's just a matter of deciding how one or two warnings. And then
to come back and see something sitting on your car.
The key is enforcement here. So
and have your friends see
tonight,
something on your
it's
car.
It's about enforcement. So we really need to know what that enforcement is.
Yeah.
The motion's a bit vague. Councillor Henderson.
Can we ask for a report or suggestions, or defer this to
I agree. It's just what I'm trying to get a measure, and I think I've got a measure now from Councillor, which is it's soft touch policing is what we're looking at.
We won't be able to start. It won't be cost effective for us to put a staff member on to police parking enforcements. It will cost us more than the revenue that we would generate through that, and the community will not stand for it, I don't believe. So I think we need to take that completely off the table and look at other options.
Okay, I think we need it. Yes?
Through you, Mr. Mayor, if I may, the idea of the call it the softly approach, that has been used in the car park across the road from the council chambers a few times in the last couple of years. Just reminding people about where they were parking and for how long. And it's resulted in us now converting or better defining those long vehicle parking spaces. And I believe the take-up of that has been quite positive. So the softly approach is a great idea. Obviously, from a random perspective, we're not going to be there every day or anything like that. And the reason for the recommendation maybe is because at the moment, the parking signs as they are legal parking signs. They went through the proper process with regards to traffic committee and endorsement or adoption by the council at the time. So you couldn't really, I'd be careful about putting the enforcement, the heavy-handed approach in some spots and the softly in other spots. So it'd be a case of, in my mind, making sure we remind people of why those spaces are there and leaving that gentle, appropriate note on the windscreen.
Okay, I've got an alternative motion. There's that further information in relation to a parking education program be presented to council ahead of re-endorsement of the enforcement of existing parking signage. How do you feel about that?
Yeah.
You happy to move that way, Councillor McGlynn? Yep. Have I got a seconder for that? Councillor Henderson? All right, all those in favour? Councillor Minogue?
Can I ask a question?
You may.
First, under the financial implications, and we've spoken about that we don't really want the ranger doing this, is it actually part of the ranger's specified duties?
Currently it is, but I mean it's literally about allocation of time. Like if you're sorting out a dog, you're not on the main street, so it's literally part of her remit, but in practical terms it means it's very random.
I just think some consideration of that needs to be
taken.
Yeah.
No further comments. Councillor Fennell, you want to say
you're
something?
You're not looking out for a dog all the time, and you're not going to be parking
all the time.
You mix your workload. You do 2 hours of this, you might not need 2 hours, or you do 3 hours with the dog. I think it's just could be consideration given to that role, like councillor.
If there's no further discussion, I'll put the motion. The alternate motion, the amended motion, all those in favour?
Aye.
Aye. I declare it carried. Okay. So, another one. Here we go. 6.12, DA 2024/0058, multi-dwelling housing, 9 dwellings and consolidation of 2 lots into 1 lot. Okay, there's a recommendation there that council approve DA 2024/0058, multi-dwelling housing, 9 dwellings, and consolidation of 2 into 1 lot, subject to development consent conditions. Can I have a mover? Councillor McGlynn's. Can I have a seconder? Just for discussion, councillors.
Yeah.
Councillor Fennell. Okay, Councillor McGlynn, would you like to speak to
it? Well, now I've got some questions.
Okay, off you go.
Is there underground wiring in this development? Or doesn't that council have anything to do with that?
In terms of within the development, I don't know the exact happens. I'm not aware of that, but I would
Through you, Mr. Mayor.
Mr. General Manager.
Look, based on my experience and my reading of the report, the existing external pole, I think it's referred to as a private pole, I'd have to check, needs to be removed, and the development would then relocate its main switchboard to one of its boundaries or onto the property, probably fixed to one of the main walls of one of the buildings, and the wiring I would expect. There could be an above ground that just feeds to the most immediate unit, and then everything else would be underground.
The reason I asked, I started back at Vinnie's, and they have a plan of the, they got it in January, a plan of the development, and they asked me to find out if there's underground wiring between the development and the wiring goes straight over to the Palms Motel, goes from Vinnie's over to the Palms Motel. Obviously, if they're going to be wired up, they're going to have a, it's got to be upgraded a lot to have 9 units, but if that wiring from the Vinnie site to the Palms Motel where it goes now is going to go underground, that's my question. One of them.
Yeah. We'll take it on notice,
sorry.
I think.
Can you let me know?
I think we need to take that on notice, Councillor Minogue, and we can talk with the developers and they can do the right inquiries to the Central
okay.
Energy.
Next question.
And the next question was about green space. That always concerns me. Well, there are 9 units, and it's a relatively big block. And I think the idea that you've got the driveway down the middle is fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
But is there adequate green space according to the the regulations?
Well, essentially, the way that we got to this point is that this has been reviewed by our planner and our building surveyor, and then that's gone to our manager of regulatory affairs.
Mm.
And basically, if you read the report, each issue,
yeah.
everything has been deemed to be on the right side of the offside line or whatever. So, essentially, I believe it's in line with the regulations.
Okay. Well, I couldn't see
it.
Anyway, okay, thank you.
Councillor
Lord?
I've got a question. When it relates, and I was going through this, it says that the spaces, the areas within the so-called green spaces, but they're smaller green spaces. I think there's 30 square metres, but there's only about 14 or 15 that are subject to sunlight. And according to that, the plan said sunlight for 2 hours midwinter on the open spaces. I was under the impression that all time you had to actually have 3 hours when you actually submitted plans for building for sunlight in midwinter on the equinox. And if 2 hours, it's not really, I think, a long enough time for that situation to go on that area. And the rest of it I don't have a lot of problems, except the limited amount of green space or the open space, because I think they've taken the paths and that around the buildings as part of that allocation for open space.
Councillor Henderson.
Can I ask that we defer this decision until we have more information on this? The reason being is that this is a request for a residential development in a Zone E1 local centre, and it does not comply with the objectives of the zone for this particular development. There are multiple issues to be taken on notice here. I believe it doesn't line up with our Main Street revitalisation plan, and it does not also line up with our community strategic plan. So I would like to defer this to talk about the issues with this development in
the
current zoning.
Councillor Minogue, seconding that, would you like to speak to it, Councillor Minogue?
Only to reinforce what Councillor Henderson has just said, I also have queries around the parking that has been put down. In what we've been given, the second bedroom has been put down more as a study, but we all know in reality that when these units are marketed, they will be two-bedroom units.
Mm-hmm.
So we're making allowances on our rules for parking, which I don't agree with. So I think this requires more investigation.
Mm-hmm. Okay, are there any further comments, Councillor Lord?
One other question is effectively, when we look at this site, I can't see in here whether it is going to be a strata title arrangement or is it going to be a total rental building, you know, the fact that if it is strata title, I would like to know what the actually subdivision and the sizes are, how they relate to our local environment plan.
Okay, so no further discussion. I'll put the amended motion, Councillor Henderson's amended motion, that the matter be deferred for further discussions. So I'd just like you to raise your hands now when I put the motion. All those in favour? Okay, declare it carried. So the motion will be deferred. Yes.
Mr. Mayor, can I just...
You may, Mr. General Manager.
We got who approved or who supported it and who didn't.
We've got it's unanimous. It's unanimous, Mr. General Manager.
Who was for that?
It was unanimous.
Thank you.
Yeah. Okay. So we'll move on to 6.13, page 141. DA 2025/0023. 141. Dual occupancy detached under State Environmental Planning Policy Housing 2021, Division 1, infill affordable housing. The recommendation now that Council approves DA 2025/0023, dual occupancy detached, subject to the conditions of consent. Can I have a mover, please?
I'll move it.
Councillor McGlynn, Councillor Henderson. Councillor McGlynn, would you like to speak?
Yeah, I'm moving it because I've got a number of questions about
discussion.
It.
Okay, off you go.
Our first one is, I know Councillor Lord is very concerned about this, is the traffic, how the two units are on an extremely small block. And I know there's this cheap housing, to put it, socially affordable housing. Does that socially affordable housing only relate to getting small houses on small blocks, or does it refer to the quality of the house that's going to be built?
Mr. Director or Mr. General Manager, have you got any comments around that?
I'll just answer in terms of the quality of the construction. That would have to meet Australian standards. So I don't think there's an issue with the quality. In terms of the size, I don't know, unless the general manager... I'm not...
And the size is way, very, very small. It's way below our regulations that we have here. But I know that this socially affordable housing ruling came in last year, the director will remember, we had a special session on it. It's a very iffy thing. I mean, we never saw anything in writing.
You say it's vague.
It's vague. It doesn't have rules and regulations that I can see on paper. I've looked it up. For example, if anyone else is doing affordable housing, they have to have a backer that's going to be there for 15 years to manage this affordable housing. But with Aboriginal housing, that is given away. So this is Aboriginal housing. The section does not apply to development carried out on behalf of Aboriginal housing officers or their land corporation. My concern is, I'm sure if it's for Aboriginal housing, they absolutely need it, but we've seen before in the development that went beside the Tivoli Theatre that went in as over 50s or something, therefore you don't have to pay parking spaces. Well, gee, there's a hell of a lot of over 50s working out at the mine. because there's about six or seven vehicles. That was the biggest con. And I just, I want to understand more about what this social housing actually means and why.
I think, to the mayor, I think the thing to look at, it still has to meet the minimum standards for construction and housing. You know, like, just because it's called social and affordable housing or whatever, doesn't allow them to override the basics in terms of the minimum standards. So I can't speak to the exact Australian standard for the minimum size of the bedrooms and the doors, etc. So I don't think there's anything being compromised here. I think it's just people are building small things and they're probably pushing the Australian standards to the limit, right? But they're not doing the, it's not the social housing aspect that's impacting the standards. It's the, it's.
It's not discriminatory.
That's for another day. Councillor Lord.
No, it's not.
Basically, I'm totally in favour in low cost housing for people who can't afford it. So don't get me wrong, I fully support it. My major concern on this particular development is, and I know it's in the lane, but effectively, because you're going to have a major access route to one of the buildings at the rear via the back lane, I am concerned with regard to the safety issues when it comes to being a lane, an unfenced lane next to a school playground. Effectively, the fact is that you've got, the cricket nets and everything else that are at St Mary's that kids are playing. And remember, this is a school that is not a high school. It's basically up to year six and kinder. So effectively, I'm wondering whether we can put a condition that there's got to be some fencing or whatever else or whatever on that particular issue. I fully support the concept of low cost or an affordable housing, whether it's for rental. It's on a small block, so it'll be unsubdividable, I would believe. So effectively it would have to be, they'd have to be rented, and I'm not sure what the title would be if they would want a strata at all with two ones. It's just, I'm not convinced there's enough information in here to give us the full background of the whole development.
Any further comments, Councillor Henderson? You look like you want to say something.
From my understanding, affordable housing is something that a developer can choose to build and then have certain benefits from the state government or anything like that. It doesn't refer to the size of the building or the quality of the building at all. It's just the fact that they may get some concessions from the government to be incentivized to build housing that is deemed affordable housing. Therefore, there's regulations on it as to who can rent out. And it is, I think, a scheme that the government has to encourage developers to build more affordable housing. It's no lower in quality, it's no lower in size, but they do have additional benefits go to the builder for providing affordable housing options and labelling it such. So I have read through it, and they have stated in here that the back unit carport will be access via the back lane, but the main access will be via the Church Street. So as far as bins and access to the property, it will all be via the main street. So I'm happy with that. The bin will obviously come out to the main street as well. So essential services can access the rear unit through the actual front street frontage. It will only be accessing the parking as is already in place for many of the properties along there anyway.
Are there any other comments, councillors?
Well, can we add? I agree with Councillor Lord about the school on the fencing. Can that be a part of the developer have to comply with that? because it isn't. It's a serious safety issue.
To the mayor, if it's a genuine concern and it can be proven to be a concern,
it is.
We can put the condition. I'm sure we can.
I'm just wondering how that's going to work if you've got parking off the rear lane. How are you going to be able to seal it at the same time? That's going to be challenging.
Well, do any of the other properties have fencing
lane? I don't know if they have rear lane.
They have.
Access.
There are multiple properties that do have their garages and carports and rear lane access there currently. Do we then ask them to modify their the butt backs of their properties, or is fencing fall into the realm of the school?
I think this being a new development, it's an opportunity for safety. Maybe those regulations, they're probably not in now, that they weren't in then, when they're all old buildings. I don't know, I think it would be a very good thing if we could get the safety issue sorted.
Councillor,
I drove down there. There are three of the houses that actually have sheds. Two of them have got actually garages on the back lane. The fact that none of them are flush with the back lane, they're all a good 20 odd feet, 5 or 6 metres in. Effectively, I'm happy to compromise, providing egress is in a forward motion and not a reverse motion. Because effectively, the biggest problem is if these people are reversing out, you're not 100% sure of kids in that area, unless you're careful. There are two. There's one yard that simply has a back gate that enters that way, but it's not in a garage, and they drive in and they can see where they're going. Right. The other house on the corner exit comes in from Railway Road. So I just think it needs a little bit more investigation on the safety aspect before we can. I support the concept, don't get me wrong.
Do you want to move an amendment in that direction?
I'd like to move.
That is to be brought back to us again after further discussion?
After investigation and discussion with regard to that rear access.
You want to second that for that?
Yeah, I'll second that.
Councillor McLean, okay. Any other councillors like to speak to that? I'll put the amended motion. All those in favour of deferring this for further discussion, please raise your hand. 4, 5. I think we can defer it for further discussion.
So I can just get your show of hands again.
Yep. Councillor McLean as well, I think.
Yep.
They can defer. Okay, and against, please. We'll get the names. Councillor Fennell, Councillor Henderson, and Councillor Wilkes. Okay. So we'll move over to section 4, reports for information, on page 175. Okay, we'll move through them one by one. No, first of all, can I have a mover for these reports, please? Councillor Vanell, seconder. Councillor McGlynn. Okay, move through them one by one. 6.14, the Economic Development and Tourism Report. There's some Why Leave Town statistics there. Any comments, observations, councillors? Aren't those poppies great? Isn't that great?
Well, the memorial walk should be central. Is an amazing facility, and I hope that's promoted greatly with our visitors.
Mm-hmm. I agree. Any other comments, councillors? Councillor Henderson.
Just with the memorial walk, will that be part of the Anzac Day celebrations?
Oh, I don't think it's scheduled that way. Mr. Director, would you like to speak to that?
No.
I did speak with our communications officer and our tourism officer in regards to what plans the organisation said made in regards to Anzac Day. I'm going to organise a meeting to have with them. And part of that is also because of the DC-3, C-47 aeroplane restoration, that we're targeting now to get back prior to Anzac Day. So we'd like to recognise that, but also quite mindful of the events that the RSL and others have on the day. And so the last thing we want to do is cause friction. Having said that, I think what we need to do is have a broader discussion on what we do with the Anzac Memorial Walk, what's currently held, and also how we feed into the aeroplane as well. Sorry.
Councillor Fennell?
Regarding the Memorial Walk, well, last year, Macy Cowan, the youth officer, she organised a, correct me if I'm wrong, but she organised a walk for the students or people that may have been interested, like the evening before. So maybe our new youth officer might do something similar.
Okay, very good. Councillor Anderson?
I was just going to say it would be very nice place to have the dawn ceremony.
Oh, yes, look, there's some conflicting things there. That's any further comments regarding economic development and tourism report? If not, we'll move on to 6.15, the community development report.
Oh, can I congratulate them for finding out about the morning melt? It was a great result when you did the survey here. 100% participation agreed the program, insisted in getting to senior members about at the end of page 180.
Mm-hmm.
So it was a thorough, thank you for that.
Good. Okay, we'll move on to 6.16, Lanarkshire Library Monthly Update.
This is usual.
Any comments, councillors, observations? Move on to 6.17, Children's Services, February update. Okay, move on to Bland Community Care Services update. Any questions for the director, councillors? Can't get anything out of me? Okay. Move on to 6.19, the technical services report. I'm sure Ray loves this report. Have we got any questions for the director? Councillor Minogue, you've got that look on your face?
No, I've already.
Councillor Fennell?
It's the roadwork, or the proposed roadwork that was to happen at on Neil Street near Aspire Childcare Centre. That huge big dip, the big washway. Fortunately, we haven't had water to be a problem there, but I have asked this question, I think, two times before as to when that might be scheduled or something happening there. I believe that it was in their contract that Blanshire do some upgrade there as far as box culverts or something to relieve that flow of water out the front of their organisation.
Mr. Director.
Is it in? Sorry, I'm just checking if it's in the programme.
I would have to check. We have had to make some changes to that programme, once again, to suit our budget.
So we'll take that on notice?
I will certainly will, but Neil Street hasn't been forgotten.
No.
But I would have to, I can't confirm that.
Thank you.
You, Mr. Mick, are you including that? You were meant to clean up all that back lane. Is that, you're talking about that?
Yeah, that's that.
Take that on notice
as
well.
The local residents are concerned about that.
Yeah, very good. Councillor Henderson, lovely to hear from you.
As always. I'd just like to inform you of a road accident on the road heading out to the mine on Friday, when there was a truck rollover due to the condition of the sides of the road there.
The shoulders.
The shoulders. I have photos that were taken of the accident to send through, but is that road on the current list, those shoulders going through that forest area there? There's now been one rollover due to them being this deep and pulling the truck off the side of the road, so is that scheduled to on our maintenance list?
Not on the current program. However, we're trying to work strategically with our roads programs, and we're certainly very aware of that. And we are looking for future program as part of the roads team for rock shoulder work and also for table drains as well.
I think that road being such a highly trafficked road and crucial for a lot of our community workers, it needs to be prioritised from a safety point of view now there's been an accident there due to the condition of the road.
Yeah, once again, dear councillor, so we are aware and certainly have taken note of that. We do condition-based assessments as part of our how we do our programming. So road classifications and condition-based assessments, and obviously we take on board any incidences as well. So
we do have kind of a black spot, program in place.
So you are notified when there is an accident in a particular area, and then you go out and have a look at that area?
Well, of the ones we are notified of, yes.
Okay, fantastic. Thank you.
Very good. Any further questions? Technical services.
Councillor
Moore.
The comment I've got is the villages and works in the technical services there. If you've removed the synthetic grass from the cricket pitch to get it ready for the cricket season, I assume it's the football season.
Okay. If it's of any consolation, I decided to leave it in to see if you were aware.
Oh, there you go. Good answer, Mr. Director. Well played, Mr. Director, I should say. Very good. Are there any further questions for the directors? Councillor Monet, yes.
Sorry, there is one thing when it comes to weeds. I've been noticing quite a proliferation of parquet weed in Balm Edmund.
Yeah. To the Mayor, I've spoken to Glenn Nealand, and he's going to prepare a presentation on the weeds programme for an upcoming workshop or the council meeting. To explain, because there's quite a lot of new weeds,
really,
as you
good.
Said the last time, and he's best placed to answer that question.
Very good. Happy with that?
Yeah, that's good.
Yes, as long as the weeds will be addressed in Balm Edmund, the khaki weed, because it gets in tyres and spreads so very easily, and that's obviously what's happening.
It's all over the show, it's all over the lawn.
Okay, so if we can get a report on that, that'd be good. No further questions? We'll move on to 6.2, our Development Services Activity Report. So are there any questions regarding those DAs, councillors?
When people take out trees, the first one is 34 Shire Street, they're taking out 4 trees. And do they have an obligation to plant 4 trees? I mean, if ever a community needed trees, it was us. I mean, it's hot and we need the shade. Down
what
here,
is
the second one,
do they have to
removal of 2 trees, do they have to put 2 back?
Yeah.
I'm not aware, sorry, apologies, I'm not aware of the land share thing, but normally you need offsets, you need, if you take away some trees, you're meant to plant trees elsewhere.
Can we make that up?
Yeah, that's... Yeah,
can we stipulate that somewhere?
We'll go back to the planning department, sorry, and check...
Would that be part of the DCP, would it? You know,
I would have to check that because...
Be our DCP.
I mean, sometimes you actually need to replace by twice as many.
Councillor,
I fully support on what your councillor again there. Now, looking at both of these where the trees are being removed, there's a demolition of an existing building, and I can understand, you know, what's happening with development. When we're looking at these sites, therefore, can we actually include in any future DA the replacement of the trees that have been removed? Because
I'm wondering whether it's already
because effectively that's what you put in that nine-unit DA, the replacement of the trees with similar species and whatever, with the removal on that. That's actually in that development application, so I'm just wondering whether we can put in these future development applications.
Yeah. There's certain considerations for a future development application.
Very good. Any other questions, councillors? Regarding Development Services Activity Report.
If I may, Mr. Mayor.
Yes, you may, Mr. General.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Look, I think there was some mention there of the DCP, and that's certainly where the replacement of trees can be specified. I can't tell you about the existing DCP or what might be in there, but we do also have I was going to say it's a booking tree register, but I don't think it's that. We have a tree preservation order. And that's why this will come to council through the DA process for those. What those two developers intend to do with those sites into the future, I don't know, but that would then fall into any DA, whether it's a landscaping plan or the replacement of trees through the DCP.
Okay, very good. So, if there's no further discussion on those reports, I'll put those reports to be adopted. Oh, Councillor Minogue.
Sorry, to that. So, future development applications, say for the first one that we've got listed, demolition of the existing structures and removal of four trees. So, when a future DA comes in for a building or something there, those two DAs are linked, are they?
Mr. Jarman?
So that we can capture the trees?
I think it could be within our existing DCP anyway.
Correct.
That's what we need to find out. And if it was, then it should have been considered by staff already, shouldn't it? Or am I remiss?
As part of the DA for the demolition.
Yeah. So it might have been discussed already. We need more information to know that. So, if there's no further discussion, I'll move that those reports be adopted. All those in favour?
Aye.
I declare it carried. So, I move over to reports of committees. There's the YARIC, the CMCC, the YARIC, there's Bushfire Management, Ungo Advancement Group, all the minutes are there, Wyalong School of Arts and Hall Committee. Can I move that the council endorses the committee meeting minutes as presented, please? Can I have a mover? Councillor Fennell, Councillor Brooks, would you like any discussion on any of these committees? No, is there none? I'll put the motion. Oh, Councillor Lord?
Yeah, I'd like to look at one, particularly the one that the Cowal Gold Operations meeting. I'm concerned that councils have one representative. The fact is that consistently Forbes Shire never seems to take enough notice of the regulations because they've got two representatives on that committee. And I just believe that, you know, fine if they want to have two, but one should be an observer, but not a voting member.
Okay, well, can we take that back to the CMCC, please?
I think it all
will be
like
that. Who's it? Ollie, you're on the CMCC.
Yeah. I believe, is it Councillor Crowe? I think he might be the second.
He's second. So we have got two on there?
Yeah, we have two. Yeah.
Okay. And do we take two to the meetings?
No.
Councillor Crowe hasn't.
Or is it one and an alternate, or do two?
I believe
two
it's an alternate, but I've been to every meeting so far.
Okay. And a Forbes, so they're taking two members to those meetings, Councillor Brooks, or?
So they probably take the alternate,
aren't they? No, I don't believe. Sorry. I don't believe they've had two at any meeting from memory. And to be honest, I'm still getting to know who everybody is, so I don't hold me to that, but I believe that there's only ever been one per council.
Okay. We'll follow that up anyway. Yeah. Any further comments, councillors? If not, I'll put the motion they be adopted. All those in favour?
Aye.
I declare it carried. Okay. Well, I think that's it, councillors. Can I have a mover to close the meeting, please? Councillor Fennell, Councillor Brooks, all those in favour?
Aye.
Aye. Thank you very much. I think that was a really good meeting. Very congenial. No controversy. Everyone was good.
Everyone's on their best behaviour.
Well, that was a big one.
That was
a big one.
Horrible, that was.
That was a